Well, it's September 25, and this is Thomas Robb with Roundtable Discussion here at the Knights Party.
Thanks, Rob. And Rachel will be here in a few minutes.
Well, here's Rachel.
Yeah, it's a nice fall day, beautiful day. And
she might want to finish her eggs before she starts talking.
But
unless she has something really profound to say, and she can't hold it, contain it any longer. And she said, I've got to say it.
Just
been
thinking about Pulaski
and
the festival.
Yep. European American Heritage Festival. That's
October 22nd, fourth Saturday in October, and great time. Bring your family. Great festival. The only festival in the United States where there's a walk for white pride. You get to carry your flags. Fair flag. Be a Scottish flag. Irish flag, whatever flag of your ancestry.
I was listening to, while I was making, I have a bunch of videotapes, about six, seven boxes of videotapes of various things recorded over the years. And I've been transferring them onto DVD. And one of the videotapes I transferred today onto a DVD was a court hearing in the Chancery Court in Pulaski, back in the day when they were still trying to fight our constitutionally protected right to rally in Pulaski. And we had several court battles with that, and eventually in federal court, which we won, of course. And so we haven't had any issues since then. This particular videotape was from 1993. So it was from 1986 to 1993, in which we off and on were in court several times. And but in 93, we lost in the Chancery Court, which I figured we would. But a week later, went into federal court, and we won in there. And So we don't have any issues at all with the city now in Pulaski. We come down there and everybody treats us fine. The city police treat us fine with respect. No trouble with the police. No trouble with local citizens. No trouble with the local community. It's just a lot of support. And it's just really a great opportunity for people to come and to demonstrate their pride, their people, and their heritage. And it's especially good for parents to bring their children, because this gives that an outward opportunity to publicly express it, you know, in a way that is safe, and yet can help generate some pride in the hearts of their children. not an egotistical pride, but just an honor and respect for who they are and their heritage and their blood. And all the things, the contributions which our ancestors have given to our people and to the world.
Well, every TV station or newspapers, you always see them having festivals celebrating, honoring, black heritage or black history, just black race in general or culture, relating to some particular state.
Yesterday they opened the National African American Museum of 20,000 people with high school bands and everything in Washington D.C.
And so they, if they have that, okay. Well, that they have it right now. It shouldn't be in Washington D.C. It shouldn't be government funded at all. But the point is, we've always say it that all the races are encouraged and they're promoted to able to honor their people. But white people are not able to do that. They cannot publicly celebrate, their heritage and culture. And this is a really unique opportunity for white families to come and celebrate it in a relaxing atmosphere. And we have the cultural booths there. Mm-hmm. And
other people are encouraged to have booths also.
Absolutely.
The one thing that makes this, there's many things that make the festival unique. But the first thing that comes to my mind is just basic, I don't like the word propaganda, but if you use it as a term of
messaging,
giving public information and proper narrative and so forth, everything that's done for the patriotic cause, white nationalists, whatever you want to call it, throughout this country, is all from a aspect of protest, and which is fine, you know, but people are certainly encouraged to protest when their rights are being abused and so forth. But this festival gives people an opportunity from a positive standpoint to not come and say we're against something, but we are for our people and to celebrate their people. And who can argue with something like that, with the concept of we're not protesting you, we're not, you know, we're here to celebrate our people. And I think that makes it unique. It's something that's no one else has ever done. It's something that, you know, I think people can really get behind. I was, you know, talking to somebody the other day. I was like reminding them that, you know, the bikers have Sturgis and the liberals have the Burning Man Festival and, you know, 50,000 people in Nevada, and feminists have Lilith Fair, and you know, it's about time that there's a festival that celebrates white European heritage, and that's in a, you know, relaxing atmosphere. And so people, you know, aside from the aspect that, yeah, it's fun and you get to meet people, people should, you know, especially those listeners, people that are listening to this, many that I would suspect are also members of the Knights, or, you know, perhaps are involved in some other organization, politically active and so forth, you should consider it your duty to come here to the festival.
Right.
I mean, it's not just, I think I'll come because it'll be fun. It, you know, you should consider it your duty to
make a presence.
And make a presence and promote something that is a positive outlook and outreach to our people. Because can you imagine if we grew this festival into, you know, 10,000 people from across the United States, with representing everybody from the Tea Party to Second Amendment advocates to people that are concerned about freeze-drying food, right. You know, just the entire concern.
And not being based on hate, it being based on love of a European ancestry.
That would draw attention to our cause, in a way that nothing else ever has. And even Donald Trump, because while Donald Trump, you know, people are supporting him because of, you know, the ban on Muslims and the wall and stuff like that, he does not come out across the board in support of just white people in general, you know?
Right.
And he supports homosexuality.
Exactly.
So he's not the hope. He's just a tool to carry the narrative.
Yeah, he helps open the door.
But the festival could actually be a tool. And if, you know, more people would get it through their heads, you know,
right.
What this could do and produce.
Well, you got to catch that vision. You got to catch that vision. This is kind of like our beachhead of Normandy in the Second World War. You know, I mean, right or wrong, no matter how you look at World War II and Hitler and all that sort of stuff, let's just, from a military standpoint, the Allies knew they could not land on the shores of France and sweep across Europe. But they knew that if they could get a beachhead, just a mile beachhead that they could control, that would give them a platform then to move on into France. And that's what this is. This is kind of like a beachhead. This is our a little toe on the beach and claiming this is ours. This is our place. This is our nation. And getting that toe on the beach. And that's why it's so important that people really, really understand and grasp the vision of this potential and make any effort, every effort you can, to be there and participate, visit.
Promote it on social media.
Oh, absolutely. Everybody's on social media anymore.
Yeah. I mean,
Facebook and other means of social media.
Make your own Twitter account, you know, supporting the festival. Make your own Facebook page supporting the festival. If you listen to Stormfront Radio, or if you, you know, go on to American Free Press or American Freedom Party, or listen to Political Cesspool, or any of these different ones, most of those who are sponsors of it, get on there and ask if they're going to be there.
Right.
Get on there and make comments for other readers and so forth, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that seems like such a simple thing to do. And it is simple, but it's really powerful.
Right.
It's really powerful. And it doesn't, you're not jeopardizing your life or your livelihood or the safety or security of your family. It just said, hey, you don't even have to say you're for it.
Yeah.
Just say, hey, look what I saw. The white people are having a festival in Pulaski, Tennessee on October 22nd. And you can be sound negative if you want to.
Yeah, just,
and say, that, like say I don't know about this. It's interesting. I went to WhiteHeritageFestival.com and read more about it. Anyway, I thought you'd be interested. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to say you're for it.
You know, and more people really – so from what I can see on social media, they don't even care about what they say on there anyway.
No, it's pretty obvious they don't care.
Just, you know, go on there and just type out the website address and leave it at that if you want. You know?
Right.
But, you know, a lot of times people, I mean, even though we're saying that simple, a lot of times then there's a certain element of people that's like, you know, it's not that it's simple, it's that they don't see a long-term effect, you know. It's like they think, well, what are these little things going to do to really help the cause?
Uh-huh.
And it's like, well, I don't know. What about all the little things that the blacks, homosexuals, and communists, and cultural Marxists, all their little, this little tidbit here, this little tidbit there, that little tad there, and you add them all up, and look now, they're running the show.
Right.
So if everybody put their little tidbit in and put all those tidbits together into one big pool.
Well, just an example. What's really destroying us in many ways, of course, is the ability to manipulate the minds of youngsters.
Right.
And they're able to do that because the federal government controls the educational system.
Right.
And to the Department of Education. But the first, as far as I know, the very first real effort to create a national Department of Education was in 1932 when William Z. Foster wrote his book Towards Soviet America. Now, William Z. Foster, 1932, was head of the Communist Party of the United States. Did anybody really pay attention to that suggestion? Did anybody pay attention? Well, probably not, except for maybe the other communists.
Right.
But those other leftists, other communists, they began to promote. They got senators who began. Well, just I'm just totally switching gears now, but it's the same deal. With reparations to Negroes for slavery. Right. That is being introduced in Congress every year by, what is it, John Lewis? Mm-hmm. I think it is.
They do it every year until they get it.
They do it every year. And every year he gets a few more congressmen on board with them. And they do the same thing with Martin Luther King Holiday. They get a few more people on board with till eventually the population, the Democratic, white people will be afraid to say no because they look like they're racist and they'll lose the next election. And so they'll eventually get what their objective is. And so it's the same thing what we're doing. Is we got a tall hole in Pulaski. Things are changing. And the awakening of people to the Donald Trump phenomena, the Hillary Clinton comment about the alt-right, which is which we've been a part of for years. And this here is helping to reshape the political platform and eventually the horizon, political horizon in America.
Well, sure. And, you know, the ideals may be different between us and the others, but the basic nature of people is the same. And the way things work, the pendulum swings the other way. And it swings in the same manner by little by little by little effort that just mounts up until it's that critical mass, and then it just breaks out.
Right. So,
well, you know, I on my show, you know, I always in my show, you know, simply saying that, you know, you have the right to exist, and it really kind of comes down to that. You know, white people in general just has the right to exist. They have a right to preserve their culture and heritage, and like you said, Rachel, this festival, you know, has been going on for, what, 31 years, you know. And it started out with, you know, protests of Martin Luther King, but the last, you know, several couple decades has been really this festival. And it's great because it literally is the only type of festival in the United States that really does promote and honor our people and our culture. Mm-hmm. And, it really baffles me because there are families out there that have the concern. And what better avenue and venue that you can go and bring your families and your children to an event that's honoring their children, going to honor their children that's yet unborn. And it's it really baffles me that sometimes people just don't really catch that vision.
It's kind of like the way magnetism works. You know, the larger an object, the more drawing power it has.
Right.
And the larger we can grow the festival, then the more people are going to come. And
more people will talk about it.
And people will be like, well, duh, you know. But that's the point. You get to a certain number of, whatever that magic number is, you get to a certain number of attendance at the festival, and then it's the term? Exponential.
Right.
Addition, basically. Then it just greatly just boom multiplies until it's just mushrooms into something huge. And then because of its size, it just attracts, you know, constitutionalists to people from the League of the South to NRA, just homeschooler, whatever. There's so many different arms of the conservative movement. And we want to get them all under the same tent, like the Republican Party used to say, because these are all, for the most part, white people.
And we're not trying to get them to join the same organization.
No, we want to unite together so that we can be a facilitator of networking, so that white people can be better networked together throughout the country so they can build pockets of resistance. And what better way than to get them all into one spot to meet each other from throughout the country, because they're not just, gun show enthusiasts, or they're not just homeschool enthusiasts. They're all these people, all combined with one thing in common. They're white and Christian.
Yeah. I saw a good analogy on the internet yesterday, and I want to read it over again so I get it solidified in my head good. But they were talking about, so many people said, well, we should have organization. We should, everybody individual, like the lone wolf, do the thing.
Right.
And they show the comparison to the Spartans.
Right.
When the Spartans fought the Persians, so they came in there at the Battle of Philippi. They didn't come there as individual warriors.
Right.
Say, oh, we're gonna do this. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do this. Everybody, they had the power because they all unified into one solid force.
Right.
And it was that one solid force that made the Spartans invincible in warfare. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing, and we see the same thing in any military maneuver. Right. It's when the military comes together as one unit, that's when they're able to exercise their power. And so this idea that, well, we're all going to just do their old thing and someday it's just going to happen is really naive.
And the wrong strategy.
It's the wrong strategy, absolutely. Yeah. So we had to think in the terms of being the Spartan, unifying together into one solid head under the banner, the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ. We do believe that wholeheartedly. And by that we can then alter the course and make history for the welfare and future of our children.
I don't recall what I was seeing this on or where. I think this was actually, because the lone wolf analogy is something you hear everybody. I mean, Muslims use it, jihadists. And I think it was actually a commentary about the bombing or the potential bombing up there in New Jersey last week, that guy that they caught. But there's a military strategist on there that used to work for the State Department, but he was talking about Muslims and the lone wolf concept, and I don't know how he got from that to the next point that I was going to make, but I liked how he stated it, because he said, You know, the lone wolf, people have this idea that the lone wolf is some sort of hero. The lone wolf is out there striking a blow for the cause, whatever that cause is, just the right. lone wolf mentality.
They romanticize it.
Yeah, he said, you know, the lone wolf is the one that got kicked out of the pack.
Right.
Because he's weak. He yeah. didn't take the pack and make the pack his interest. Yeah. He didn't work together.
He didn't help the pack get stronger.
He didn't help them. He didn't. He can't be. There's no teamwork.
But he wasn't loyalty. I mean, yeah. that's why
and
he was kicked
it's
out.
It's not like he went out on his own. Yeah. He got kicked out. The yeah. lone wolf isn't a hero. The yeah. lone wolf is dysfunctional
and
an imperative to yeah. the cause, whatever that cause is.
Right. He was a loser. He got rejected.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he won't last. He'll right. die.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The only thing he might do is hinder
the pack.
The pack and the success
yeah.
of and their ability to care for the young and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, because he's out robbing chickens out of the hen house. Causing the farmer to go out and hunt down the rest of the pack.
yeah.
yeah. Going after the little ones.
But the idea of the lone wolf howling into the in the night sounds, gives a romantic appeal yeah. to people, giving a sense of heroism. But like you said, it was a loser. That's why they're the lone wolf. They're the loser and got rejected.
Yeah.
So, now they're out on their own and they won't survive. Yeah. They need the pack to survive.
Well, That's why you know the festival is so crucial because it is like you said, Rachel. It does really gives people, white people in general, a banner to come under
right.
to celebrate their people. And talking
yeah,
about this
isn't a Klan festival.
No,
this is a festival for white people.
Right.
Yeah. And
one,
Klan
under
robes
one or, big tent.
Right. No Klan robes there.
Yeah,
Klan flag
purposely designed that way.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and the thing is, you know, you're talking about where it could be that explosion. And the thing is, you know, it doesn't take that long until people start recognizing it.
Right.
You know, where the media starts recognizing it, or people on social media recognize.
Well, they recognize it. Now, as you tell your story, give the relate about the state senator in North Carolina.
Well, there's in North Carolina, and I wish I brought my laptop, but anyone can Google it. But if you go to the website, or not website, just Google it, but North Carolina is United States House of Representative, not state senator, state representative, U.S. representative. He was being interviewed, I believe what I read the article yesterday, from BBC. And they were talking about this all these protesters in North Carolina, specifically mm-hmm. Charlotte. And part of his district comprises up of Charlotte, North Carolina. And so they were asking, why is there such protests, you know, angry protests? And he said, because they hate white people. You know, I mean, this is a United States House of Representative who
yeah.
said this. Now, he did, you know, he did try to backtrack a little bit and said, well, he was just upset, you know, because of the situation, you know, all that. But that was his first initial reaction.
He spoke the truth.
He spoke yeah. the truth, you know,
that was
and
the first thing that come to his mind.
And of course, not everyone, but the, you know, the NAACP and the Democratic Party said, you know, he was being insensitive and trying to put fuel to the fire and all that. But that's just the simple truth. They hate white people.
Right.
And
if he said it, then you know thousands are thinking.
Absolutely, right. There's millions that are thinking that. But that's a United States House of Representatives simply right. said. They hate white people.
Yeah.
And so that people know that. People recognize it. White people, the average white people out there, when they see these protests, they know what it is. They know these blacks hate white people. They hate law enforcement. They know that law enforcement basically stands for white culture and a white society because that's a mark of our people, law and order. And so the average white family out there that knows that. And that's why it's just vitally important that people, you know, white families are in law enforcement, you know, background like that. They should be going to this event, you know, this festival,
right.
you know, because these attacks on the police, the law enforcement, I don't care if you're a security guard, they hate law and order
right.
across the board. And so, you know, families that have any
black,
type of background.
Police officers too.
Absolutely.
Because the blacks, they feel, are
solid
yeah. times and are just working for the man to maintain the white power structure.
Right.
right.
Absolutely. And so that's why, you know, that festival is so vitally important. But yeah, that AmericanHeritageFestival.com, you know, yeah, put that on your social media. I mean, every what did I say? European American Heritage Festival.
There are several domains.
Okay, but the easiest part is White Heritage Festival.
WhiteHeritageFestival.com.
If you want to give the website address, that might sound a little more benign, but then also maybe a little more descriptive, it's European American Heritage Festival.com.
Right.
And if they didn't catch it, they can put this on replay and play it again and pick it up second.
but just Google that. Google White Pride Festival. Google European American. You know what I mean?
I don't know if it's in there this year, but last year, the festival, European American Heritage Festival, did not say white, it said European American Heritage Festival, was listed in the Tennessee State Tourism website and booklet available for tourists as one of the festivals. Not by any of our doing, but just because it's a festival that's been going on for a number of years now, and you know, marketing firms, they tabulate and find festivals throughout the state and send them in, you know.
Right.
So I don't know if it's listed this year, but it probably is because it's, you know, been listed before.
They did jump in the car and make the trip down to Pulaski, and there's motels in Pulaski. Lawrenceburg, which is 20 miles to the west of Pulaski, nice motels up in there.
Where David Crockett was from?
David Crockett Park.
Yeah, David Crockett State Park is a beautiful park. I want to make a fall camping trip out of it.
Right, and then about an hour's drive away is Shiloh Battlefield, Civil War Battlefield. South of Pulaski, not too far, Huntsville, the big space museum.
And the website there has links to lodging in the area, as well as tourism information about different sites that people may want to go visit.
Right. So people take a week's vacation, a week and a half vacation the whole area, then spend a day in Pulaski for the festival. Yeah. You and your family will have a great time. Bring your lawn chairs and sit down underneath the oak trees and
If you don't have time for that, then get off work Friday and drive all through the night and get there Saturday morning.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's what a lot of people do.
3 or 4 hours of sleep, is it worth doing something that can have the potential to unite our people?
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. And again, if you
think about all the trips we've done like that, it kind of irritates me when I don't see other people.
Yeah. Well, that's 5 hours away. Yeah.
So what? Yeah.
Your children's future is at stake, and you're just worried about driving 5 hours or 8 hours or 10 hours.
I have to work. I don't know. Call in sick.
Yeah. Or come in after work. Drive. Get there Saturday and leave.
This is a real opportunity to help do some positive teaching in your children.
Yeah, take them out of school.
Yeah.
Take our kids out of school Friday because we figure it's more important.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's important that these kids, they can't just rely upon what they hear mom and dad complain about when they watch TV.
Right. To me, that is the best part of the festival, literally seeing all these kids, because we usually have a great turnout of children, and you see all these kids, you know, walking around, you know, the square, and they're carrying a flag. And they had the biggest smiles on their face, you know, because, I mean, they're actually doing something that's honoring themselves. They're honoring their ancestors, their parents and grandparents and the kids yet unborn. To me, that's the most beautiful sight, seeing all these children walking with their flags. I mean, it really is great. The thing is, that, you know, even if an individual, when they're there, if they are, they have some type of crafts, you know, if they knit, you know, or they do ironworks or something like that, and you like to display your craft, bring it.
A few dollars.
There's no charge to setting up at your booth. It's free.
Bring a card table.
Yeah, your card table and some chairs.
Bring your card table.
And bring your crafts.
Bring your tent.
Bring your crafts and set it up. And
everything has to be cleared with the
right.
Through the national office.
Yeah,
you don't want somebody selling distributing pro pot literature. Changing the pot laws or something like that.
Right.
So everything has to be cleared through the national office. But if you have any crafts,
we have our sponsors, and
right.
Everybody works together to clear things. So
yeah. But if somebody just says, well, I don't really care about the white race. I just got me a bunch of blankets I quilted. I'm going to sell them. Bring them down, put them on a table, sell your blanket and quilts, And if you have to be somebody who lives in Pulaski area and you want to come down there and you make quilts or you make blankets, you do iron work or whatever kind of craft.
Well, on the other side of the square, there's a farmer's market.
Yeah.
So if you have some.
Yeah, if there's you want to put up a cultural booth, I don't know how many people are still familiar with 4-H anymore. A lot of people aren't really familiar with it, or the small town county fairs or even state fairs, people put up information booths,
Yeah.
I mean, maybe someone wants to put up information about sustainable energy or, how to go off the grid or, whatever, Do it. Put something together.
Maybe
some bulletin boards.
Maybe one of your kids made a display on first aid.
Yeah.
First aid techniques and helping somebody who's choking and so forth. They put all this effort for a school project. Well, bring it down there, put it out on the table.
Right.
Let people see it. Expand, and other people see it. You did. If you have any old cars, classic cars or cars you want to show off. A lot of people have really nice cars they want to show off.
Yeah.
It's a good opportunity to bring it down there for cruising, park your antique car and lift up the hood and let people gawk at how beautiful it is bring it on down there and for cruising.
We have some people in the past that brought their old trucks, I think like 57 or 56 Chevy, and they really had decked out nice. And there's a lot of people, especially people that are right in the area around, Pulaski, Tennessee, Stevenson.
Anybody that's within a 300-mile radius
right.
of Pulaski, there's just no reason they shouldn't be there.
No reason at all.
So,
I mean, 300-mile radius, we're talking about a 6-hour drive, tops. There's no reason. I suppose a reason would be if you don't really care.
Well, I mean, we're about 10 and a half hours, from...
On your deathbed, or right. Maybe you're going through chemo, we do understand there
are
circumstances, so we're not just going to be cold-hearted.
Yeah. But where we're at, Harrison, we're about 10 and a half hour drive, and to me, it's not that much of a drive. I mean, it's really beautiful because it's a changing, it's a day trip, but it's changing.
Beautiful time
fall
of
the year, and the trees are turning, the leaves are turning, and it's just really beautiful that area of Tennessee. It makes it really special.
And right across the street, unless they've changed in the last year or two, right across the street is the drugstore that sells the old fashioned malted milks.
Yeah.
I mean, the old kind you used to have when you were a kid, the old fashioned kind. And if nothing else, come to Pulaski and go to the drugstore to get a malted milk. It's really great.
Yeah. Well, in Pulaski, and also on the square they have we know about all these Confederate statutes that towns are trying to remove, they're trying to get rid of. And in Pulaski, there's a statue,
Sam Davis.
And he was a 19-year-old. Basically a kid in the Confederacy who was arrested and tried supposedly for treason against the North, and for supposedly, I guess, providing sensitive information.
What it was, he had
message runner.
Right, but what he had is the South was so short on finances that many times they would capture supply wagons and take uniforms, the Yankee uniforms, and try to run through a bleach system and bleach the blue on it and make it look gray. And that's what he was wearing. He was wearing a Yankee uniform, but it was been bleached to kind of make it look gray. But they claimed that he was a spy wearing a Yankee uniform. And whether he was or not, I guess, is somewhat still in dispute. But this was their claim. And he refused. And I don't know all the issues, so somebody who's a historian on that but may be more accurate in their understanding of it. But what I understand is that they insisted that he disclose information, which he said he hadn't.
Yeah.
But that even if he did, he said that he would not betray the confidence of a friend, even though he may have died a thousand deaths.
So anyway, yeah. So there's a lot of really interesting things in the area. There's also Amish communities nearby that have, you know, neat little
the Amish community nearby. We went to it here last year, Bob and I, and we drove up the streets where the community's at, and these are the old fundamental Amish, and It's interesting, you know.
The horse and buggies.
Horse and buggy, no electricity, no lights, no nothing. Anyway,
So yeah, but you know, I just encourage people from
We're gonna take a break. Here for a second, Rachel.
I gotta refresh my call.
All right. Okay, we got interrupted. I'm not sure what we're saying, but I know it was profound. And but I do know we were talking about Pulaski and the reason why people should come. And Pulaski, for those who don't know, was the birthplace of the Klan, the very first organized effort of white resistance to white genocide, even though they did not consider it white genocide at the time. That's certainly what it's developed into. And so now we are facing this.
Well, it was really the first resistance of white genocide, because at that time, after the defeat of the South, you had your northern elected officials, the radical Republicans, as they called them, and literally white people were not able to vote. White males were not able to vote. They could not hold offices. And so at that time, throughout the
South. That's why I put so many Republicans in. Right. In power in the South. Republicans was the enemy of the white race back in at that time.
Right. And that's why you have blacks that was holding state senators' office, U.S. representatives, state senators, state.
They held office all through the South.
Throughout the whole South. And so white people just couldn't hold them. They couldn't serve on juries. And literally, that is a form of white genocide, because when you're intentionally trying to displace a people, that is a form of genocide. And that's what they were trying to do. And the Klan was really the first organization in the United States that was fighting against this white genocide. And that's why nowadays, when people think of the resistance as far as the resistance against what's happening, they think of the Klan. When they think of people that are a group that is standing up for white people, they think of the Klan. And so that's why it really is unique opportunity that the Klan has, because we're able to get that message out. But the thing is, this festival is just really a beautiful event, because we have a lot of great sponsors of this event. We have around, 8 or 9 sponsors.
Cesspool, Maryland Free Press,
Barnes Review,
National Times.
Yeah. Stormfront. Heritage Connection Band.
Yeah.
Thomas Law Sunik, who used to be an ambassador for the Nation of Croatia.
American Association for Free Expression.
So
is it Cast Football?
Yeah.
Christian Revival Center.
Yeah.
Can't forget that.
Yeah. And so so there's a lot of great sponsors this event that really have got the vision, this capture the vision of this festival. And so it is really great.
We've put in all the effort, we've built the framework, and you already mentioned, Dad, the legal battles. There's been a lot of work to even make it possible, and now it's up to people to, you know,
show up.
Yeah, get on board and exactly. Take it to the next level.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. And, I mean, because you see the growth of it, like Sturgeon, and you mentioned these right. other festivals, yeah, even their liberal festivals.
Yeah. And, you know, it took 10, 15 years for them to get off the ground, but, you know.
They had the help of the media.
Yeah, they had the help of the media.
and to George Soros type.
Yeah, but, you know.
We just got good old working boys and girls.
Yeah. And, but, you know, the thing is, money is powerful.
Right.
And what's really helped take all these other festivals that we've mentioned, Burning Man, Lilith Fair, and Sturgis, which are all, you got one in the extreme north, you got one in the southwest, you got one in the east coast. So three festivals all representing three different types of, you know, elements of society. But what really helped get them off the ground was that after enough people started coming, then local businesses saw the jingle in their tin cup and whatever, you know, resistance or whatever they might have had about, you know, whether it's crazy bikers at Sturgis coming to whether it's, you know, crazy hippies at Burning Man, once enough people start coming and they, oh, well, this is good for business. People are renting more motels.
Yeah.
People are eating in the restaurants.
The rest of the year, they might have been 100% against them.
Yeah.
But that weekend.
You know, then they threw out the welcome mat.
Yeah.
Yeah. You
know? And businesses, they can start getting behind it.
Right.
Like that.
And,
well, like you said, Sturgis, I think.
They put up
95% of their revenue at Sturgis for that whole year.
But they fought it first.
For that week period.
They fought it
and then finally
they embraced it.
And then finally they embraced it. And
And we're not saying good or bad. We're not trying not to Sturgis. We're not saying it's a good thing, we're not saying it's a bad thing. We're just what happened.
Right. Because, you know, money's powerful. Even down in the South, you know, as shameful as it is, you had a lot of business owners that would shut down and didn't want to serve all the freedom riders and all those people coming down from the Eastern establishment, coming down into town, and pretty soon they kept coming and coming and coming, and finally it was like, oh, I can sell food to these people.
Yeah.
I can rent rooms to them, you know? So, I mean, that's the power of money.
Yeah.
Instead of using it to work against us, use it to work for us. You know? Absolutely.
And a Sturgis deal. A lot of people that come to that Sturgis, we went there one time, you and I, and Jason and I, and
right.
Nathan and Mom, just by accident. We didn't go there to go there. We were vacationing.
We just happened to be there.
We just saw what's going on. Oh, so we got out and we spent several hours there. And it's kind of odd because They're everywhere from just good old bikers that are just good, decent bikers that ride their Harleys and go back home.
And there's the Christian Bikers Association.
Yeah, there's the crazy ones. Yeah. So Sturgis gets them all.
No, but just united around the bikes. Of bikes.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are hundreds and hundreds, and I would say thousands of business owners all across the United States that have the same concern that we have.
I know scores of them in Harrison.
Absolutely.
Here.
And the same thing with Pulaski and all the surrounding towns. You know, those are good white Christian business owners. And if this festival continues to increase and increase, they're going to have more of an opportunity to stand besides us with business logos or whatever, because they see it as an economic benefit to them.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so when, like you said, Rachel, when talking about an explosion, there is a great opportunity, especially when we see what's happening all across the United States.
Now. Yeah. When you got 20,000 people coming out for a Trump rally.
These angry white people.
Yeah. You know.
Make no mistake about it.
Yeah.
Even though that, in reality, the Hillary Clinton camp is right in this respect. These are angry white people.
Right.
Now, Trump doesn't spin it that way. He spins just Americans who want to take the country back, but in reality, it's angry white people.
Right. anyway, and so yeah, those 20,000 people that show up at a Trump rally are the same demographic that could potentially show up for a festival. And when you get, you know, start getting something built up to the next level, it's kind of like, you know, when you create a firestorm.
Yeah, you create a critical mass. Yeah. You can't stop it anymore.
Yeah. And again, it's, you know, sometimes the simplest ideas, you know, are the most powerful ones. Create a fun, exciting atmosphere, bringing white people and white families together from all different walks of life and backgrounds and different arms of conservatism and libertarianism and whatever, and get them all under one tent and one place and network them.
Right.
Let them network themselves.
And people that listen to this program now, you may not live anywhere near Pulaski, but we're such a mobile society, I'll bet you know somebody who lives in Middle Tennessee.
Right.
I bet you know somebody there, a cousin, a family member, an old school friend, an army buddy, you know, somebody you went to nursing school with, a doctor friend, somebody.
Join the Giles County, I've done that, join the Giles County Community Yard Sale Facebook page and get on there and promote it.
Right.
Yeah, they got 12,000 members.
Well, there you go.
Talked up the festival on their Facebook page.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we hear all the time. We hear all the time, you know, people just saying, well, what can I do? You know, because they don't know. Simply just attending that event has power.
Simply listen just to being what there. We say.
Yeah. Go into that festival.
Follow instructions.
Absolutely. Go into that festival and just being there, showing your presence. There's so much power just in that alone.
Yeah.
You know, and so when people say, well, what can I do? You know, can I ever actually do anything? Well, you as a person, as an individual, or you with your family being there helps encourages other people that are there. Because they realize, hey, there are other families around that have the same concern and just want to show my pride and show my honor of my people.
Yeah. And then you teach that to your children.
Yeah, don't come thinking, well,
what can I get out of it?
What can I get and how many people are going to be there that I can meet? Think, I'm going to bring my family there because, hey, I got a nice family and we're ambassadors for the White Christian Revival. We're going to come there and
build a foundation
to other people and shake hands and kiss babies.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's our job. That's our duty. And anyway, and if your kids are older, invite your grandkids to come over. If your kids are older and whatever, they don't have the vision, they're off doing something else, whatever. Say, hey, can the grandkids go on a trip with me? Sure, pack it, the grandkids, and bring them.
Yeah,
I mean, that's right. We've still got influence on people.
Yeah, we have a big area. We bring some toys along, so the little ones in a protected area.
A bounce house for kids.
Yeah, they play.
The kids always have a good time.
Little there. Cars, and you have cement chalk.
Yeah.
Kids draw on the concrete and draw their pictures and so forth. So the kids have a good time. It isn't like, oh, I've got to sit, hold this little child on my lap for a couple hours, you know, because they don't want to disturb the festival. Yeah. Now, put your chair down there, let them sit down on the concrete and draw pictures on the concrete, bounce in the bounce house. Oh, good time.
Well,
pick out a little flag for them to carry in the march.
Yeah. Well, and thing is, I
don't like it either.
Yeah. It's a walk. But the thing is, it's only
because we're not marching.
And if anyone has been at your traditional small country
without the beer and the
girls,
anyone's German been, costumes, which I don't know
But the idea is, it's just not concrete. I mean, it's that courthouse step, and there's nice green lawn pasture all around the courthouse. So there's nice shaded trees and stuff like that. It's a festival. I mean, and so there are activities for children, and there's cultural, there's food there. We have music being played. We have Heritage Connection that plays. We have a live band. I mean, it is an actual festival. And so it's not one of these things that you're just kind of standing there and kind of looking at each other.
But the media wants to give the image of fear. They want to create an image of fear in the heart of people. Right. And so many people I've met over the years, you have also, who say, well, I support your cause, but they're afraid to come in contact because they've seen images on TV and they see boots stomping skinheads, you know, foul mouth sometimes.
Or not, you know, when they usually outgrow that, and then they grow their hair out when they're opening a small business somewhere.
Right.
It's more of a fashion thing in their teens.
Yeah, they go through a short period of time. Yeah. But still, the media tries to create this fear constantly. And you need to break that fear. That curtain of fear that surrounds our people is what harms our growth. And but that curtain of fear.
That's why the festival is important.
Right. But the curtain of fear is shattering.
Right.
And they can't understand why, except the fact that white people are starting to get fed up. And Charlotte, North Carolina, is an example of why people are getting fed up with what's happening.
I was going to say, when it'll really begin to shift in our direction, and already is, but really begin to shift when people become more scared of getting drug out of their car on an interstate by an angry, fire-throwing, black, murderous mob.
They blocked the interstate in Charlotte last night.
Then when they're scared of whatever little images the media wants to conjure up. So, you know, it's who are you more scared of? Getting drug out of your car by a bunch of black mobs or the stupid little images they throw up on TV about, you know, white pride people?
And the thing is, you know, these mobs that are standing in these interstate, it's going to get to the point that people are not going to be stopping. And they're going to be running right through them.
Hell, I wouldn't.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to be.
Well, I guess I would. I don't know what I would do because
You don't have a chance.
Running, they'd be running my info right then.
Yeah.
But later, be like, oh, she's guilty. But you know, I mean, all I've got is I'm old enough to have the constant instant replay of Reginald Denny in my head.
Exactly.
Big burly truck driver and a semi being pulled out and beaten half to death.
I was telling mom the other day, I said, and you don't know when these are going to happen in these large cities.
No. Yeah.
It's going to get to the point when you're driving, you're going to get up your old map. Okay, we got to turn off this little exit here and go 40 miles around up this way, the 30 miles this way, then catch the other side of St. Louis somewhere up there in Illinois, you know?
Yeah.
And it takes actually 2 hours longer, but at least we'll still be alive.
Yeah, where's the app for that? Avoid the riot.
Yeah. Well, there was an app guess came out a few years ago, Avoid Bad Neighborhoods. Yeah. You know, whatever happened to that?
I think it got shut down.
Racist. Yeah, of course.
The thing is that these people out here, they know it when they see these protesters. They know they hate.
And we're just talking about the blacks right now. Right. Yeah, I mean, considering all the crazy jihadist Muslims and Somalis
and Mexicans
and so forth, you know, that's in all their little pockets and areas, and the Mexicans who are deeply ingrained with the MS 13, 10,
whatever. Right. I had a bag of grapes on the counter yesterday. Tate and Caleb were over last night. And a bag of grapes. I said, Tate, Caleb was in this room. I said, Tate, see all these grapes? Because he's eating one. I'm eating them. We're eating these grapes. I said, stop a second. See all these grapes? He's, He's, how old is he? 8 years old?
Seven.
I said, see all these grapes? And he's, yes. I said, they're all good, aren't they? He's, yes. I said, if I told you one of the grapes is poison, would kill you, would you eat any more? No. It's common sense.
Right.
For these people to say most Muslims are not violent people, okay, they're not. But the 1% that is might kill you.
Right. And they may not be physically could come out there and kill you, but they culturally want to destroy your people and your history.
And they're so often sympathetic to those.
They're all sympathetic.
They just don't have the, I hate to use courage, but they don't have the activity.
Well, they have a different path. The end is still the same.
The end is still the same.
But they have different paths to achieve that end.
Culturally destroy America. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And culturally means racially. To racially destroy America and conquer it for Allah. So they are all the enemy of white Christian America. Every one of them.
Yeah, it's the Crusades have never ended.
it's just
a continuance, you know.
Yeah. Well, so anyway, so people go out there. I mean, and that social media is a very powerful tool. So every day, you know, you ought to be putting messages out there about the festival. And,
State Department and the UN, you know, they credited social media for the Arab uprising, you know, the Arab Spring.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, if social media can help them in their stupid cause.
Right.
Well, this goes back.
I mean, it's just technology. Use it for good or use it for bad.
This goes back before social media as such, but with the first revolution Iran with Ayatollah Khomeini.
Yeah.
He created his revolution by the mass distribution of cassette tapes,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he was mailing up cassette tapes, thousands of them to his followers all through that region of the world.
And the Gutenberg press promoted the Reformation.
Yeah, we printed the Bible. You know? Right. Yeah.
So technology. So, you know, use it while you've got it. You don't know when some of these things are going to come under.
Well,
be shut down or whatever.
Well, I always tell people, you know, it's funny because, you know, you can see how many things have been shared and all.
Right.
And you can see where, you know, like a cat's falling off a table, you know, and it's all, before you know it, 7 million people have watched it or something funny. And I'm thinking in my mind,
really?
That shows how much technology where 7 million people are, you know, watching a cat falling off a table or something like right. that. And we can harness that power, you know, right. promoting our cause as well, you know, yeah. and promoting this festival.
Maybe you could get a white person to have fall off table.
Table, so, exactly.
Yeah, white people fall off table.
Yeah. Anyway, so people need to go to the website, and they just need to make their mind up to go.
It's about a month away. There's no reason why you shouldn't be able to plan it. And it doesn't cost that much to drive, spend a night at a motel, and the drive back.
KOA campground in the right. area.
Yeah. So there's no reason for that at all. And you're going to spend that much money on a weekend if you're going out to eat somewhere or go out and dine out or go to a zoo or something like that. You're going to spend the exact same amount of money if you just fill up your tank, drive, to that festival.
And gas prices are
very low now.
Yeah. I mean, they're not as low as 75 cents a gallon.
But no, but $1.95.
It's reasonable.
It is. Yeah. There's not an excuse.
It's reasonable.
And that's the point. There really is not an excuse. You can try to make an excuse, you know, but there's really not an excuse to try to save your children.
Well, the thing is, like I like to point out, is kids get excited over football teams, basketball teams, football heroes, basketball heroes. Usually some line of sports. Kids get excited over it because mom and dad get excited over it. They didn't just were born a Green Bay Packers fan.
Right.
They became a Green Bay Packers fan because they saw dad get excited about it. Or maybe mom get excited about it. And so the child begins to learn that excitement. And if you want your child to be excited about this future, excited about his race and his heritage, and the wonderful contributions our people have given to the world in architecture and medicine and in exploration and art and music, if you want a child to be excited about those things, then you need to be excited. And you help demonstrate that excitement by being excited going to Pulaski. This is not a work. This is not an effort. This is going to be fun, kids. We're going to go down to Pulaski. We're going to have a great time.
Especially,
we're going to see where David Crockett was at. And
I want to say especially with your daughters, too.
Because absolutely.
Women that, you know, I mean, they spend more time with kids, so they're able to talk things up.
Right.
And then you get some guy that's taking his kids and his daughter to worship at the football stadium.
Some every football, couple black of months, football hero.
And worship the black heroes and like, oh, gee, I wonder where I went wrong. Well, I don't know. Stop being a stupid idiot and taking your kids to worship black heroes.
Yeah.
You absolutely. Know, what do you think's going to happen?
Right, absolutely. Well, anyway, we got about one and a half minutes or 1 minute. I just want to say be sure to go to Alt-Right TV and they can watch
AltRightTV.com.
Alt-Right TV, AltRightTV.com. Daily watch the Wake Up America program recorded live at 7 o'clock a.m. Central Time. And then it's in archives throughout the day. And then also to watch White Resistance News recorded live at 8:30 a.m. Monday through Friday also, and then back. It also that is the archive. So most people like to watch it archived. I understand that, but it is recorded live if you want to see the live version. And then, of course, it's in archives. Share it on social media. Tell your friends about this. Do your part. We're doing our part as much as we can. We would like to do more, but we're limited. We're just human beings like everyone else, but we're doing our part. You need to do your part for the future of your children. So with that said, is there anything else to comment on? Are we done?
Just make plans for the festival. That's what you need to do.
In the 60s, we will say, be there or be square. I don't know if that's still around or not.
Sure.
Be there or be square. All right. Anyway. On the square. All right. Anyway, this is Thomas Robb.
Jason Robb.
Reminding you to love your God and to love your people.